Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about some players who are trending in the right direction, some players who are maybe either trending down or maybe just got off to a slow start. Spent most of my day today watching some All-22 from the Titans in their first two games, so kind of going to go over my takeaways from that. Before we get there, though, a couple quick shout-outs, and then we're going to go over the injury report as well. But before we get there, shout-out to our new members, Dalton Hunter, Chase Cogdill, Van Halen 1984, Packers HQ, Orton Goodfellow, Guns USA, Nick Sherman, and Brandon Chasehorn. Appreciate you guys for signing up. You guys know the deal. Check out those Pack-A-Day podcast memberships. Otherwise, just make sure to like, subscribe, comment, 5-star reviews. Those are all super helpful. Anything you can do to engage in the video, tell a friend, whatever you might be able to do is always super helpful to the channel. So we always appreciate that. Meanwhile, I've been telling you guys about Autograph. If you have not checked it out yet, it is time to do so. And there's no better time than right now. You can win a $450 valued Packers autographed helmet by Jordan freaking Love. Yes, you can win a Jordan Love autographed helmet right now over on Autographed. I'll put all the details in the description below in the link. Download the Autograph app, get started. It's a one-stop shop for all of your Packers needs. And if you're a fan of the Brewers, the Bucks, or any other team in the NFL, NBA, NHL, and it goes on and on, this is your spot to get all of your sports news in one area. It is so nice. All of the podcasts, all of the articles, obviously community that is chock full of Packers fans and fans of your favorite team. So make sure to download it. And like I said, right now you have the ability to go out there and win a $450 Jordan Love signed Packers helmet. I will put all the details in the description. All right. Injury report. Jordan Morgan out. We have Carrington Valentine as doubtful. And the one that kind of matters a little bit, Jordan Love as questionable. Those are your three players that are on the injury report for Green Bay. Tennessee is pretty much cleared. Tajay Spears, their running back, is going to be good to go in this one. He practiced. Doesn't seem like it's going to be an issue. He is listed as questionable, but no real concern there for Tennessee. For Green Bay, definitely a little bit of a concern. You have three players who are, well, one, your starting quarterback. That kind of matters a lot. But Carrington Valentine, who had kind of seemingly taken the main primary role from Eric Stokes. It still was a competition. It was back and forth. It was basically 50-50, but Valentine kind of went from, let's give you a drive in week one to you're playing more than Stokes in week two. I don't know if that was going to trend to you're the guy in week three or just it stayed a coin flip and they were going to each get their playing time. I don't know, but either way, Carrington Valentine, doubtful, very unlikely to play in this one. Now, the good news, you have Eric Stokes. Like, you still have a starting caliber corner on that side, and this will be a huge game for Eric. If you're in a competition and your competition can't play in the game, which gives you the opportunity to play the entire game, that is a huge opportunity. So hopefully Eric Stokes takes advantage of that and goes out and has an amazing game. Same thing with Jordan Morgan, right? The good news is that he and Sean Ryan have been rotating back and forth. It's not like this was one of your starters that you were dead set on and like were good to go and you were expecting him. Yes, you were probably expecting Morgan to play in this game, but it already was sort of a little bit of a coin flip between Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan. This just gives Sean Ryan that opportunity. And very similarly to Eric Stokes, this is one where it kind of seems like on defense, maybe they're trying to get to more Valentine. On offense, it seems like they're trying to get to more Morgan. Well, Sean Ryan, Eric Stokes, here are your opportunities. You're going to get the job. I do wonder, you know, one of the things that we've talked about with Sean Ryan and that Matt LaFleur has talked about is the conditioning. That's been a bit of an issue. Well, it's supposed to be around 90 degrees or more in Tennessee. They just came off a game where they played a ton of snaps this past week and some humid conditions. We had offensive linemen throwing up. Is there any world in which Jacob Monk could rotate with Sean Ryan? If you remember going back to the end of training camp, it was at the very end. It Jacob Monk did start to get work with the ones. And it looked like maybe for a second, because Morgan was still kind of coming back from injury, but it looked like for a second that maybe it was actually a 3-horse race, not just between Morgan and Ryan, but Monk was getting his name in that conversation a little bit towards the end. Does he get some opportunities in this one? Maybe it's 8 snaps. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's none. I think it's probably more likely to be none, but that will be a little bit of an interesting one to kind of keep an eye on as well. But Jordan Morgan out, Carrington Valentine doubtful. It hurts depth more than anything. I don't think anyone's super concerned about Sean Ryan at right guard. I don't think anyone's super concerned about Eric Stokes at corner. But if there are injuries at either of those positions, it definitely leaves you a little bit more vulnerable. On the offensive line, three clear, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th guys, right? Jacob Monk, Andre Dillard, and Kadeem Telford. Those will be your three offensive linemen up off the bench. Speaking of the cornerback spot, though, I would expect Green Bay to call somebody up with Carrington Valentine unlikely to play. They're still going to have Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, Keyshawn Nixon, and Corey Ballantyne. I'm going to do that forever while those two are both on the team, but Corey Ballantyne. They have four, but they're probably going to want to call up a fifth just to give them some additional coverage at that spot. And in all likelihood, that will be Robert Rochelle. You look at the slot position, right? Keyshawn Nixon is healthy and good to go. Ballantyne has played primarily in the slot this offseason. And you have Javon Bullard who can play there and some of the safeties can rotate down there and whatnot. So I don't think you need a slot guy. It's an outside corner that you probably need a little bit more. That's Robert Rochelle. It's not going to be Kalen King. And Robert Rochelle is the better special teams player as well. So I'm expecting Robert Rochelle and Sean Clifford to be the practice squad call-ups on Saturday. Even if Love is good to go, I still expect them to call up Clifford just to give them another option just in case. You know, you don't know if all of a sudden like they would warm up Jordan before the game on Sunday and they're expecting him to go, and all of a sudden it flares up and he's not good to go. And if you don't call up Clifford in that situation, now you have Willis and nobody else. So there is 0% chance, in my opinion. You might say, well, if Clifford doesn't get called up, that could be a tell that Jordan Love's going to play. I would be stunned if Sean Clifford doesn't get called up no matter what. Now, is it possible that Clifford gets inactive or is like the number three QB, something like that? Yes, I think there is a possibility of that. But I do not expect him to get not called up at all on Saturday. So my two expected call-ups and roster moves on Saturday, Robert Rochelle and Sean Clifford called to the active roster. If they do need somebody else, it is possible that we could see Jordan Morgan maybe move to IR. The fact that they haven't done it yet is a good sign and hopeful that he is able to return. They shouldn't need anybody at any other position. They still have enough offensive linemen, so I don't think it's going to be that. And of course, we talked about Sean Clifford. So it just seems like in all likelihood, Robert Rochelle and Sean Clifford will get called up on Saturday, and those will probably be the only two moves, but we will have to wait and see. And if there are any other moves on Saturday, we will certainly talk about it on tomorrow's show. I did see some people ask, and I know Matt LaFleur was asked about it, and he said, hey, everything's possible about the two quarterback system, meaning is there a world in which both Love and Willis could get... I just don't see it. I just really, really don't see it. If Love is good to go, you're playing him. You are not taking him out of the game to put in Malik Willis. I just don't see a world in which that exists. Could there be maybe a player or two here? I just don't see it. I think this is either going to be, I think one of three things where Jordan is the starter and Malik is the backup. Jordan is just not ready and he's completely inactive. Or maybe there's a slight possibility because Jordan's on the active roster that you could designate him as the emergency third quarterback, meaning you could go with Malik Willis as the one, Sean Clifford as the two, and if somehow in the game both Clifford and Willis were to go down with injuries, then you could play Jordan. You might say, well, if you could play him as in an emergency, wouldn't you just play him? I'm talking about it might just need to be handoffs and stuff at that point, but at least he can get you in and out of the offense and get the cadence down and things like that. So I could see a world where maybe it's that, but I think in all likelihood, whether it's Malik or Jordan as the starter, they're probably the primary guy. If Jordan's not ready, he's probably just not active or maybe slight possibility number three QB. I don't see this 2 QB system. I think Matt's just giving the Titans more things to think about. I don't think he's very sincere in talking about those two guys being one guy's going in and then the next guy's going in the next drive or anything. I just don't see that being the case. Let's talk about some players who are trending up and some that are, again, either maybe just not off to a great start or are trending down in some capacity. Let's start positive first. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. I want to get to the film review. And obviously we talked over the injury report already, but I think there are five players, and then I'll give a hat tip to one other as well, who are trending up. And we'll talk about five players who are maybe trending down, a little bit of a stock report today. My trending up, number one, will come as no surprise to absolutely anybody, and certainly anybody that's been listening here for any period of time, Tucker Kraft. Is somebody I've been on for a while now. I think he really came on at the end of last year, and he's just continuing to trend in the right direction. Now, I'm not necessarily even saying that like he's taken this monstrous step, because I think if you go really back and watch the second half of last year, a lot of the stuff that Tucker is doing now, by the end of last year, he was doing a lot of the same stuff. But it is very clear that in the eyes of the Green Bay Packers, he has trended in that direction, that he is tight end one. And it, to me, it's not particularly close at this point. I've seen a lot of the conversation, well, we got to get Musgrave snaps up and it's got to be closer to even. I just disagree. I think Tucker, and I really like Luke Musgrave still, by the way. We'll talk about him maybe in just a moment as well. But I still think, to me, Tucker Kraft is number one. And this is not necessarily an indictment of Luke Musgrave as much as it is just a really awesome step from Tucker Kraft in the right direction. He is tight end one. He's a better blocker. I like him better after the catch. And yes, I think the idea of Luke Musgrave as a seam weapon, a red zone weapon, somebody that can do a lot of the receiving stuff, I think in theory, I love that idea. We just haven't really seen it come to fruition in a while. Saw a little bit of it last year, but a lot of that, if you remember, was on some sort of plays where Matt LaFleur was able to scheme Musgrave open. Haven't been a ton of plays where he's matched up with somebody and he's, you know, getting open in his route or making a big explosive play or an unbelievable run after the catch situation. I'm not saying this is all bad for Musgrave. I'm just saying it's more theoretical at this point than it is actual. And what we're seeing from Tucker Kraft right now is actual. We're seeing results. We're seeing run after the catch. We're seeing blocking ability. We're seeing him be multiple. And when you have a tight end like that that can do everything, it is such a massive value add to your offense. So we have seen, I think, a step from Tucker still, even for a little bit from what we saw end of last year. And we're seeing Green Bay utilize him as the true number one tight end in this offense, which is exactly what he should be and deserves to be. And he is in the right spot for what he is bringing to this team right here and now. I cannot believe we're already 2 weeks into the season, and after a bunch of crazy results from week two, including a big win from Green Bay, I'm already looking ahead to week three. And in week three, it is officially time to do some winning with Prize Picks. Right now, one Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. Trust me, you are not going to want to miss out on this opportunity. What I love about Prize Picks is that you can win 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. And Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, your picks are still live. So obviously, I'll be going with Caleb Williams again, but I'm going with Christian Watson this week as well, who I anticipate will be much more involved in week 3. Whoever you choose, the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. What are you waiting for? Get in the game with Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, Game Time has a brand new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through Game Time right now as we speak, and there are 2 tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, 2 tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, Game Time has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. Number 2, I've talked about this one. I think he's off to a phenomenal start. That is Elgton Jenkins. I just really love the way that he is playing right now. There is a calm about Elgton that just is impressive. And it feels like he is playing with intention. It feels like he is playing physical. It feels like he has maybe even a desire to go out and play this level of football. It's always been there, and there's been flashes of it. Sometimes, I don't know if it's just kind of getting on cruise control or whatever it might be. There's been no cruise control through 2 weeks for Elton. He looks like a big-time, legitimate left guard, one of those guys that you need to be aware of at all times. And he has been, I know Zach Tom's been really solid at right tackle too, but to me, the ace of this offensive line through 2 weeks has been Elton. And it's due to the fact, kind of like we talk about Tucker Kraft, where he can do both. I think Zach Tom's a tremendous pass blocking tackle. I think he's an okay to good run blocking tackle. I don't think he's great. I think what I've seen from Elton so far, great pass protection and great run blocking. If you can do both, you are in for a huge season. And what we've seen from Elton so far has been him being great in both run blocking and in pass protection. Number three, Javon Bullard. And to me, what Bullard is bringing to the back end of this defense, and I talked about this a little bit on Happy Hour, is he is bringing a physicality and a speed and a all-out mentality to the back end of that defense. And I know it's a little bit tough at times to see the safety on the TV copy. If you can, if you see him in the box or wherever he's playing, spend a little time watching Javon Bullard. He is playing fast. He is playing physical. When he gets the opportunity, he can be a little bit of an intimidator over the middle of the field. I just love the way that he's playing. And there will be mistakes. He's a rookie. It's going to happen. And you know, the thing that I love and the thing that always Matt talks about is if you're going to make a mistake, make it, you playing the right way, make it playing fast. And that's what I'm seeing out of him right now is there's no hesitation. There's no like, well, I'm a rookie and I've got to make sure that I'm just being said. He's saying, no, I know how to play fast, instinctual football. That's all I've ever done in my life. That's how I've got to this point right now. And I'm going to keep playing fast, instinctual football. And yes, I do think there will be a time here or there. There's a missed tackle against Philly that showed up. The overrun against AJ Brown in week one, where he's probably responsible for a huge part of that touchdown as well, because he's got to take a good angle to AJ Brown and get him down. So that's, you know, a 30, 40 yard play rather than a huge touchdown, whatever it was. But overall, what he is bringing to that back end and what he's showing me already is a really impressive young safety that plays fearless. And I know a lot of people going back to the Joe Barry of like, everyone's passive. Everyone's just doing like, this is not a passive safety. This is an aggressive safety. I love the way that he plays football. He and Xavier McKinney make a great partnership on the back end. As I've talked about all along, I do believe he's a safety. Yes, you could maybe play him in the slot a little bit here and there, but he looks awesome at safety. And I don't want to tinker with that too much. Number four, Emmanuel Wilson. Let's rewind a month ago, maybe not even. We weren't sure if Emmanuel Wilson was even going to make this team. It looked like we were very much trending towards Josh Jacobs, AJ Dillon, and Marshawn Lloyd, assuming Lloyd was going to get back healthy in time, that those were going to be your three running backs. And it was difficult to think of like, could they really keep a fourth running back? And maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't have. We don't know, but now he's your number two and he's looked good so far. I think that's the promising part, especially week one against Philly. And I know Matt talked about this in his presser. Sometimes I swear these are the things that happen. Like probably 2 hours before Matt went on with his presser, I saw the Emmanuel Wilson block and I was like, I should post this. And I'm like, people don't really care all that much about like a running back picking up a blitz. I don't maybe need to post it. And I wanted to get through some of my film review and my grades, so I didn't take the time to post it. And then he spends like a solid minute talking about Emmanuel Wilson on that pass block. I'm like, oh, you idiot. That would have been great to like, you know, post out again once Matt LaFleur was talking about it. But he had a great blitz pickup in that game. And that's been one of the things that Ben Sermons has talked about that he needs to do better. And he has had to do better, but he got a huge opportunity in that game last week. And he completely, you know, stuffed the linebacker who was blitzing on the play, which was awesome to see because he's got the size for it, right? He's got the strength. He's got the physicality. It's just a technique thing. I mean, it's a mental thing, knowing like where the blitz is coming from and how to pick it up and where to pick it up from. But I don't see him having a huge issue with that. But the physical side, he's got the size, he's got the strength. Now it's just the technical side. And I think from a technical standpoint, that was the best pass pro or blitz pickup that I've ever seen from Emmanuel Wilson. And that's a great step in the right direction. So He has gone from somebody that, again, a month ago, didn't even know if he was going to make the team. Would he get claimed somewhere else? Would he go to somebody else's practice squad? And now he is running back two and looking really good. And I think may need to be more involved in this offense in week three so that you don't give Josh Jacobs another 30 carries in this game. And hopefully they're able to run it enough that it gets to that point. But if so, I think you're going to have to see a little bit more of Emmanuel Wilson in this one. But his arrow is definitely trending in the right direction. And then number five, it would be hard not to mention Jaden Reed in some capacity. He just looks like the legit guy at wide receiver. And we don't need to have a wide receiver one conversation. I still believe we're going to have all different players have different roles throughout the course of the year. He just looks unbelievable and super dynamic with the ball in his hands right now. And he's the guy that if there is a jet sweep or an end around, I know they'll get it to Bo Melton a little bit here and there too, but Jaden Reed is the guy. He's the gadget guy. They lined him up in the backfield, handed the ball to him, got it to him on a little, you know, bubble screen on the outside. There is intentionality with how they are using Jaden Reed. And that's why a billion times this offseason when people said, who's going to lead the Packers in touches and yards? I said, Jaden, because that's the one guy that they tend to scheme up a little bit more. And that has a very consistent and solid role in this offense. He looks fantastic. He looks a step quicker even than I think he was a year ago. He looks so confident. It feels like the game is starting to slow down for him even more. While he gets faster, the game seems to get slower. He's been fantastic and phenomenal and any other adjective you want to use through these first 2 weeks. And I'm really excited to see if he can kind of continue this pace moving forward, especially once Jordan gets back, whether it's this week, Minnesota, or whatever. I think he's only going to take off even more from there. And then an honorable mention for the trending up, I have to talk about just Malik Willis for a second. This is a guy who didn't know if he was going to make the Titans. And if he didn't, he would probably get released. And would somebody claim him? Was he going to have to go to some practice squad? The Packers trade a 7th round pick for him. And even then, Jordan's the starter. Are you ever even going to see the field? And he gets in. He gets traded to Green Bay. He gets to be the backup. Jordan goes down. And he has a really impressive week too. And this is one of those things where if like he comes into Green Bay and he struggles in Green Bay, yeah, he probably gets another opportunity somewhere in a camp and maybe next year, maybe Green Bay, maybe somewhere else. But it's certainly not going to be a great sign for Malik. And then he goes out in that game and shows like, hey, I can manage the game, make some plays with my feet, make some plays with my arms. And I can be a really good backup. And that'll get him another 5-10 years in this league if he can just show that whenever he gets the opportunity. So have to give him a little bit of a hat tip as well, or an honorable mention here. It's certainly trending up for Malik Willis. I'm not saying it's like, you know, exponential growth here or anything, but that was a really solid performance and really helped, I think, his overall stock, just not only with the Packers, but with the NFL and the rest of the teams moving forward. So my trending up, Tucker Kraft, Elgton Jenkins, Javon Bullard, Emmanuel Wilson, Jaden Reed, and an honorable mention to Malik Willis. Trending down, I'm going to say number one, Quay Walker. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We've talked about Quay all week. Confident that he'll have a bounce back week. Maybe confidence is the wrong word, but I'm confident that he'll find his footing a bit more than where he's been at these last 2 weeks. I don't think it's all been on Quay. I think he is learning a new system. Let's give a little bit of time here. I'm interested to see what this looks like. I do think there's a couple things that you can look at that he's taking a step in the right direction, even though sometimes he's taking a literal step in the wrong direction in some run defense. But the line in front of him has been inconsistent and not in the right place at the right time. And I think that can cause some chaos for linebackers. Let's just see when this system gets a little bit more ingrained and people know what to expect from each other. Let's see if this slows down a little bit for Quay and gets better as the season and the year goes along. But I would really like to see Quay take even a little bit of a step. Just let's get to neutral right now. It doesn't have to be over the top. Doesn't have to be great. Can you just be, you know, average at this point? I think that would be a good step for Quay. And then we'll take, you know, hopefully, just little steps to get even better and better and better as the course of the year goes along. Number two, Colby Wooden. Nothing necessarily due to Colby, but he's active week one and gets 0 snaps, and week two he's inactive. This is a player who saw a decent amount of rotational snaps as a number five defensive tackle last year, and we all expected him to be the number five defensive tackle. I don't think anyone was penciling in Colby ahead of Carl Brooks or TJ Slayton or Devontae Wyatt or Kenny Clark. But I did think we would see, you know, maybe 8 to 10 snaps from Wooden pretty much every single week as a part of that rotation. And instead, through 2 weeks, he's at 0. So that's, to me, is a step in the wrong direction for Colby Wooden. I think he put on some good weight in the offseason, which is a good thing. I think he's looked better against the run, but he's going to have to find his niche. you know, first of all, get active on game day. And then when he does get some opportunities, he's going to need the most of them. But right now, does not seem like Colby Wooden's going to have any sort of role on this defense. Number three, we talked about it, Luke Musgrave. I'll say it one more time. I don't think this is an indictment of Luke. I think it's more of a better situation and scenario and just perfect fit for Tucker and the way that he's been playing. But certainly a lot of hope, second round pick last year for Luke Musgrave, that he was going to have a significant role in this offense. It just feels like Luke has not been able to find his rhythm in this offense through the first year and two games of his career. I think he still has a very bright future. He's a massively talented dude. I think they can find even more ways to use him. I think this week against Tennessee is actually a good matchup for him. And I think you will see a couple of plays, and I think maybe even a big play from Luke Musgrave in this one. I think there's that opportunity there. But he needs to make those plays. He needs to make his presence felt a little bit more. He needs to show why he was a second round pick, because I think there's a ton of talent. I mean, a ton of talent in Luke Musgrave. I think it's up to Green Bay and Luke Musgrave to unlock that. You can tell there's been a little bit of a step back. He's the number two. It's not equal with Tucker or Kraft. And he just, again, needs to find a little bit more of a rhythm within this offense. Number four is more slow start than I think anything, but Kenny's off to a very slow start. The second week was okay. Week one was really rough. One of the worst games I've ever seen from Kenny. And the big thing through 2 weeks is he's just not holding up as well as a run defender. Some double teams are just getting blown off the ball a little bit more. He's vacating his gap, and that needs to get cleaned up. And you talk about some of the issues with Quay. The two big plays that get kind of viral from Quay the last couple weeks, both of them were not helped by the fact that Kenny got completely thrown out of the play on both occasions. So Kenny needs to be better. He will be better. He'll settle in as the season goes along. But this is something that we've been seeing with Kenny, and I hope the trend can kind of stop here, because you know Green Bay can't wait for him to kind of get in a little bit more form, and I don't know if it's game shape or what, but they need him to play well right now. And this week against Tennessee would be a great place to start, but not a great 2 weeks for Kenny, and hopefully that starts remedying itself over the course of the next week or two, and then of course for the remainder of the season from there. Number five, our third defensive tackle on the list, Colby Wooden, Kenny Clark, we talked about, TJ Slayton. This is somebody who got a lot of praise from Jeff Hafley. Looked like he was going to be maybe even the starter ahead of Devontae White. And there are still, he still gets, I think, in there very early in the game. He's in some more base down sort of stuff. But very, very, very quiet start from TJ. A couple okay snaps here and there against the run, holding up against some double teams, but also some plays where he's getting moved off the ball more than you would like to see. This is a contract year for TJ Slayton. There was a lot of hope and expectation for him going into this year. Hopefully he can kind of get it turned around, but this is a big year for TJ, and he needs to play better than what he has over the last 2 weeks. I think he was only at 19 snaps this past week. So he's got to get on the field, stay on the field, and show he can make an impact. All right, guys, it's the best time of year. Football is back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. But listen, while you're over here making sure your fantasy team is dialed in, don't let your personal grooming become the guy that gets left on the bench. Let's be honest, nobody wants to fumble their grooming routine. But that's where Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with the Weed Whacker 2.0, this is the lineup that'll keep you looking and feeling like a champ on and off the field. So join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code PACKADAY for 20% off plus free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season. If you haven't tried the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra Groin and Body Hair Trimmer, this is the franchise player of your grooming roster. With precise trimming capabilities, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is built for performance. It's reliable, efficient, and gets the job done without fumbling. So what are you waiting for? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code PACKADAY at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything this season throws your way. All right, let's get to our film review really quick. We're obviously going to break down Packers Titans a little bit more when we get to the pregame show, but here were some of the stuff that stood out to me from the two games that the Titans have played. Again, watch the all 22 every snap from their first two games. Start with the Titans defense. To me, I was really impressed by their linebackers, Kenneth Murray and Ernest Jones. They were playing attacking, downhill, physical football. And there was one play where Ernest Jones against the Bears, he blitzes and he just comes over the center and just chucks the center to the ground and then gets an immediate pressure on the play. So that's the type of physicality he plays with. They flow to the football. They make it, you know, we talk about Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat inside. You get past those two, and now you've got two physical linebackers waiting for you. So that definitely stood out. Speaking of which, I've talked about this, but listen, running inside is going to be a chore. Not only, again, with Sweat and Simmons and some of those defensive tackles, but, you know, Coburn's no small dude either there, but also with those linebackers. Murray and Jones, like I said, are physical there. You don't necessarily want to be making a living of running inside. But I did see a variety of plays in both games, some stretch plays, some toss plays, where they were able to get on the edge and attack their edge defenders more. And both the Bears and the Jets had success with that. A Braylon Allen touchdown run was one of those. There was another big Breece Hall run that broke out. Chicago had a couple as well. So there are ways to run on this team on the edges, but I do think the interior is going to be very, very difficult to run on. And I'll add on this too. I do think there is a real, if Malik Willis is the quarterback, I do think there is a real way to incorporate more read option. And I do think that it can be a very successful play against this Titans defense. Let's see, batting down passes. That was something that showed up a ton from this Titans defense. They get their hands up. If they realize they're not going to get to the QB, they will get their hands up. And they deflected and knocked down and batted a ton of balls in these first two games. So beware of that. And then you have to find a way to keep them honest. Meaning, Malik Willis is a starting quarterback. You've got to find a way to be successful throwing the ball, probably more than the 14 times they threw last week. If Tennessee, can hone in on the run and just play downhill, it is going to be very, very difficult to run. So you've got to keep them off balance. You've got to make it so that you have the threat of passing the ball. And if not, like I said, I think they're just going to key on the run game, and you're going to see a lot more of what we saw against the second half against the Colts last week, where Green Bay couldn't get anything going because the Colts were keying up on the run so freaking much. And that's why it's so important that if it is Malik Willis or Jordan Love, that they stay balanced as an offense and can show that they can throw the ball as well. Otherwise, the Titans are just not going to honor it at all. Excuse me. Titans offense, Will Levis, man, he will let some intrusive thoughts get the best of him, as I think Justice said the other day. But he also throws, like, there are 2-3 balls where he just rips in that look unbelievably gorgeous every game. Like, you can see the upside with a few of his throws every game. And then there'll be one where he's rolling out and throws at their feet too. He's a bit of a chaos monster. You don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get some unbelievable throws. You're going to get some plays where you're like, what the heck is he thinking? It's just kind of all over the place. But the good is really good, and the bad is really, really, really bad. Dylan Reduns, their right guard. He was susceptible to a quick step and an arm over move. Hello, Carl Brooks. That is his go-to move. Like, if they can get Brooks on Reduns and some obvious passing downs, he's going to use that move and he's going to get an immediate pressure in this game. Whether it amounts to a sack or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I guarantee you, Carl Brooks is going to be good for a couple pressures in this one if he can get lined up over Dylan Reduns in some obvious passing situations. I think Devontae Wyatt, too, his quick first step. That right side of the line, we've talked about Petit Frere against Rashawn Gary, but that right side of the offensive line, I think Carl Brooks, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, LVN, I think those guys can eat against the Titans' right side of the offensive line. Packers need to be aware of bunch formations. Titans, when they realized that they were going to get some man coverage, ran some crossers underneath on some bunch stuff and got some natural rubs and picks and just had some super easy completions. And the one thing that you don't want for Will Levis is those super easy completions. So they're going to have a plan if they want to play man in this game and they see some bunch formations. They're going to have to know to communicate it very well or to audible into a zone, whatever they need to do, because Tennessee will have success with that if Green Bay is not prepared with what to do in those man-to-man situations when Tennessee is in bunch. The Packers' run defense is going to have to be sharper. Spears and Pollard are a really good 1-2 punch. Spears looks dynamic with some of his cuts, and Pollard is running much better than he did a year ago. Green Bay is going to have to make it so that Tennessee hopefully becomes one-dimensional and has to pass more, because that running game definitely has the ability to get going. They will run a ton of screens. Some were successful, some were not, but they're going to challenge you with your screen game. So Green Bay's defense is going to have to be very keenly aware of some of those tight end, wide receivers, and running back screens. They'll use it to all three. And then Will Levis's athletic ability and escapability, quite frankly. There are a couple of plays where he pulled some Houdini stuff these last 2 weeks. So just when you think you have him hemmed in and you're going to get a sack on him, all of a sudden he escapes and ends up with a positive run. So he's got escapability and he's got athletic ability. And there was like a 20, 25, 30 yard run that he had last week. Like he has the ability to take off and scramble. I'm not saying he's Anthony Richardson, but if you let him, I think he can have a very Tommy DeVito type running game. Like we saw the Giants and DeVito have against Green Bay last year. You don't want that to happen. DeVito is sporadic with his arm. Levis is sporadic with his arm, and you want to make it that he beats you there. Now, I'm not saying you sit back and play him like you did Anthony Richardson or Jalen Hurts. I want to see these guys getting pressure, but it can't be like chicken with your head cut off pressure. It's got to be smart. It's got to be cohesive. All four guys working together, or you maybe have to spy him a little bit, but whatever it is, he does have the athleticism to take off and some really good escapability traits as well. All right, that is going to do it for me today. That is my tape review. We will break down the full game tomorrow in our pregame show. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and Old Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brendan Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, SoCal Pack, Dan Guestford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, and Jay Foreman. I will see you guys all soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.